Welcome to Osage. Let's stand together. There is sunshine in my soul today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a few announcements, and everyone else has some too. Y'all go first.
So there's a couple changes that need to be made to the bulletin. We are switching the prayer meeting and the Awana meeting, so that Awana meeting will now be on the 9th, this coming Wednesday. And the prayer meeting will be switched to the 16th. If you are involved on a Wednesday night in any way, kitchen, Awana worker, you just hang around, if you want to come help, please be at that Awana meeting because we're going to be discussing some a lot of things. So please be there if you can.
My big helper isn't here today, so I have two little helpers. We're getting ready for Your Life Matters rally. Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, Miss Shirley is over the kitchen, and Miss Lauren is over the kids area this year again. And just want everybody to be in prayer about that. We need all the help we can get, as usual. We try to feed 500, as you know. 17th year. We do need some folks to share the gospel message this year. Lanny's not here, and I need some folks that will help with that. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
My helper, I don't have a helper. Dalton can be my helper. Okay, so I need everybody to mark this down. This is two Sundays in a row I'm up here talking in front of you, and that has never happened and probably will never happen again. So, okay, so just wanted to thank everybody for yesterday. What a wonderful day we had here yesterday. Just wanted to kind of, Brother Lanny said it was, you know, that I had put that together, but it was a team. It was a total team that did that, and so I just wanted to kind of give a shout-out to them. Michael Strau, you know, did the cooking, but Roger and Max were here all day out there in the storms and the heat with him working that. Kim and Jeannie did the table decorations. Brent and Jennifer put the program together. I didn't have to do any of that. Teresa Gathright did the cakes, organized those, ordered those, and they were beautiful. Savannah put together the picture wall, gathered all those up, put that picture wall together. Lindsay, bless her heart, did balloons and more balloons and more balloons. I don't think she cares if I ever ask her to do balloons again. She volunteered. She said she knew how to do them, and she did. So Dalton and Erica jumped in. And we realized we didn't ask anybody to take pictures, and so they jumped up and did that for us. Deanne was here all day. She did whatever we asked her to do. She cut fabric. She cooked. She just did everything. So thank you, Deanne, for being here yesterday and helping us. There were a lot of other people that contributed, but I just wanted to say thank you, guys. And it was a team effort, and that's what a church is. Everybody does their part, and it comes together, and it just comes out perfect. And so we showed that yesterday, and we can keep doing that as the weeks go on. You know, we're the church, and we're going to keep moving, and we're going to keep putting things together just like they're supposed to be. So we have a lot of food left. So we want everybody to stay today and help us eat the leftovers. If you can't stay, come through the kitchen, and we'll grab a bag and take some of it with you. When we're done eating, if there's still more, we want you to take it with you because it's too good to let it go to waste, and there's a lot of it left. So please come help us eat it, take leftovers, whatever you want to do. One other thing, if you didn't get a chance yesterday, the recorder, the telephone recorder that Mike had set up to do messages for Brother Lanny, if you didn't get to do that, if you forgot to or you weren't here yesterday, that is still set up in the last classroom on the left. If you'd like to do that after church today while we're eating or before you leave or whatever, please go by, and that's still set up in there for you to leave that message and then hook it that put together into Brother Lanny and Miss Gwen. So thank y'all.
All right. Tonight we will be finishing up our Revelation study at 6 p.m. August 8th, there will be a deacon's meeting at 7:30 p.m. August 19th, Telesci House fundraiser event at the Duran Center at Harrison starting at 5 p.m. There's a table. We have a table reserved for 8 people already. And if you would like to go to that, you can sign up in the foyer for that. And then August 27th, we'll be having a baby shower for Savannah and Jordan at 4 p.m. What I got? Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray, just be with us today, God. I pray for Brother Lanny and Ms. Gwen for their new adventures. God, I pray you be with them. God, I pray for Mr. Wicker here. As he comes to speak to us, God, I pray you just give them the words we need to hear, God. I pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dalton. Let's stand together.
This world can be cold and bitter. Feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same. Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. Start a fire in my soul. Fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You are the fire, you are the flame, you are the light in the darkest day. We have the hope, we bear your name, we carry the news that you alone can save. Only you can save. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me.
Amen. God, I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, restore the joy I had when I wandered. Bring me back in this darkness, lead me through until all I see is you. Oh God, I'm running for your heart, I'm running for your heart, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways, I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire. Lord, let me burn for
Let me return to you again. Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. Lord, let me burn. Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your way. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire.
Amen. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I am alone, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have. Just give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, yes, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have. You can have all this world. Yes, you can have all this world. Just give me Jesus.
can cheer the heart like Jesus by His presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. What a wonderful redemption. Never can a mortal know how my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Every need His hand supplies, every good in Him I see. On His strength divine relying, He is all in all to me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransomed I will sing. And forever, praise and glorify the King. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
Amen. You may be seated. If our fellows will start coming forward to take the offering, I want to take this time to welcome those of you who may be visiting with us this morning. These are unusual times for our church. Throughout the next 8 weeks, I believe, we're going to be going through a program that Brother Tim is going to be leading us through. Brother Tim, I appreciate you. I haven't had a chance to visit with you that much yet, but I look forward to getting to know you. I'm going to let Tim share with you during the course of our time together a little bit more about his background, because some of you here who weren't here the first time he came, but we're very privileged to have him with us, missionary to Russia. For how long, Brother Tim? 10 years, a missionary to Russia, and he's done how many of these Smart Start programs, would you say? Yeah, a few more, many? Yeah, several. So a gifted man, keep him in your prayers, and excited to have you, Brother Tim.
Let us pray. Grace, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We can be into your house, Lord. We thank you for the rain that you've sent, the cooler weather, Lord. We just Thank you for all your blessings. And Lord, now we have the opportunity to give back just a portion of what you bless us with every day. Lord, the ability to go to work, Lord, and just the ability to supply for our families, Lord. We just give you a portion of that back today. We ask you just use it to multiply your kingdom, and, Lord, just to continue to grow. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Child, it's time for you to be making your way to Children's Church at this time. Brother Tim.
It's here somewhere. Stuck it too deep in my pocket. Good morning. It is so good to be with you all this morning here at Osage Baptist Church. My name is Tim Wicker. I have served with the Arkansas Baptist State Convention for the last almost 15 years now. Before that, as Brother Matt mentioned, served overseas and pastored here in Arkansas. I actually grew up about 35 miles east of here in Yellville. Y'all know where Yellville is, right? Kind of slow down and... Who am I talking to? I'm talking to Osage. Very good. So great to be with you all. Love Arkansas Baptist Churches. So excited about what God is doing throughout the state of Arkansas. And excited to be here with you guys during this time of transition. I understand, I know, and I've seen that a time when a pastor is retiring or a pastor is moving on, there's a little bit of anxiety in church. And what does this mean for us? As the lady mentioned earlier during the announcements, you know, we are the church. Y'all are the church. Church continues, amen? And God has a next chapter. He's got a plan for y'all. And about 4 or 5 years ago, a bunch of our guys got together. We've been doing some different interims in different churches and just kind of saw a pattern and thought, let's put together something that we can be very intentional about in helping our churches in this time of transition early on, and so there's not this constant stream of different preachers coming in, and is he going to be good, is he not, what's going to happen. So we developed kind of a plan to help churches in the first few weeks, first 8-10 weeks of their new journey, just to help settle, calm nerves, and okay, we've got a consistent, he may be good, he may not be not so good, but we're going to have a consistent preacher over the next few weeks, going to talk about some things that we need to hear during this time of transition, going to spend some time doing some different work among the congregation, and it's been a really well-received program, and I'm excited to be able to be a part of it here with you all. So for the next 8 weeks or so, 8 or 9 weeks, I'm going to be out one of the Sundays and we'll talk, but 8 or 9 weeks I'll be here with you all, walking through an intentional process to help work with the search committee and make sure they're in good solid grounding as they move forward, work with the deacons and leadership here just to help during this time of transition. Amen? That's a good thing, right? Nothing to fear. As a matter of fact, you can take a deep breath if you like and say, okay, he's kind of normal. He kind of knows rural Arkansas. I think it's going to be okay. As I was here a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I did mention I'm married for almost 40 years now to my lovely wife, Lisa. Her mom is in the hospital down in Conway, so she couldn't be here with me today, but I hope that she'll get to come and meet you guys a few times during this process. Have 4 kids, 7 grandkids, the cutest grandkids. I'll show y'all after, maybe during the fellowship time, but love my family, love that right now during this season a good portion of them are close, and thankful for that. But as I think about, and as you guys think about, you know, what is it? We are the church. We were reminded of that this morning. We right here, this is Osage Baptist Church, without the permanent senior under shepherd of the congregation, you're still the church. You're still the local expression of Jesus here in Ozark. And this morning, next week, I kind of want to remind you what that means, what that looks like. But to calm fear, let's turn briefly this morning. Don't believe a preacher when he says briefly. We'll go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19. I just want to read that, and then we're going to look at a few other passages this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Familiar passage. Some of you have memorized it. Some of you have claimed it. Philippians 4, 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not one amen. I thought the shouting crowd back over here would get excited. And my God, here's the promise that Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Philippi, my God will supply every need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's a promise there. There's a promise to the church there. Again, from Yaleville, here's my redneck way of saying it. God will take care of y'all. All right? That's the promise, and that's the promise I want us to think about this morning, that God has promised to take care of his church. Amen? Lord, we come before you this morning. As we open your word, we ask you to speak. We ask you to remind us this morning of your great love for us. We ask you this morning to remind us of your purpose for us and the reason for our existence here today. Lord, I ask that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, that we would go out of here refreshed and encouraged to be who you've called us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys well know, you've been to church very long, that as we read a scripture like, my God will take care of y'all, we understand that he's written to a specific church for a specific reason in a season. Paul is writing to a church that he loves, maybe his favorite church in all of Scripture. He talks about the church of Philippi, Macedonia, over and over again in different ways and places. But if you go back to the very beginning of the letter, Paul says, I love y'all. Verse 3 of chapter 1, Philippians 3:1, 1:3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Paul says about the church at Philippi, every time I think of you, I'm thankful in my heart. I thank God for you. I thank God for who you are. He goes on in verse 4 and says, and always in every prayer of mine for you are for you all, making my prayer with joy. Not only am I thankful for you, but every time I pray for you, I get the smile on my face. I'm happy. You bring joy. The thought of you, the praying for you, brings joy to my heart. There's a reason for that. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul writes to the church and says, every time I think of you, I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful to God for you as a church. I'm also just happy. When I pray for you, I pray with joy because you guys get it. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We don't have time to look at it this morning, but the first day that Paul is speaking of goes back to Acts chapter 16. Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's an experienced missionary. He's doing what experienced missionaries do. He's taking the gospel to new lands. In Acts chapter 16, we read that Paul is in western Turkey trying to take the gospel up into southern Europe. Twice we read in that passage that the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Jesus prevented him from going into southern Europe, what is now southern Europe. He's prevented by God to do what he has been called to do. In the middle of the night, he has a vision. Remember this? The man from Macedonia crying out to him in this vision, come over here and save us. So Paul and his team, Silas and Timothy and the team, they drop everything. They get on the boat. And 2 days later, they end up in Philippi, the leading city of Macedonia. They're in Philippi on the Sabbath day. Paul inquires around and asks, is there anybody, any God-fearers in town? No synagogue, because there's not 10 Jewish leaders or 10 Jewish elders there in Philippi. So he asks, and he finds out that there's a place of prayer out by the river. And so on the Sabbath, he and his team go out there. They meet Lydia, right? The purple seller. The wealthy businesswoman who, when she hears the gospel, when she hears of God's love for her, she turns from her sin. God opens up her heart. She's saved. And she says to Paul and Silas and team, y'all come stay with me. I got a big old house, fairly wealthy. And the gospel that you have brought to me has changed my life so radically. If you consider me of the faith, come stay with me. I want to hear more. I want to stay more. So a wealthy businesswoman hears the gospel. She had everything the world had to offer. We just sang about that, right? And she said, give me Jesus. and she got Jesus. Her life was so changed, she dropped everything and said, mi casa su casa. You know, oh, come stay with me. I want to hear more. Over the next few days, Paul and Silas, and they're going back and forth from Lydia's house to the place of prayer. There's this demon-possessed girl. Remember this? Crying out, following them, and crying out, these are the servants of the Most High God teaching you the way to be saved. Now, I don't know about y'all, but as a preacher, I think that'd be pretty cool. just to be, wherever I go, somebody says, hey, that Tim, he knows what he's talking about. He can tell you how to get saved. He can tell you how to have new life. Well, the scripture says he did it over and over again, this demon-possessed girl. And finally, Paul got irritated, aggravated, turned around, and cast the demon out of this girl. Here's this girl who has been possessed by a demon. She's been oppressed by her handlers, by her owners. She's been sold into slavery. Most likely, scholars tell us that the owners would give her drugs to put her into a hallucinogenic state to where she could be possessed by this demon and share what's going to happen in the future. And there she was. This is the lowest of the little. You got the richest of the rich. Lydia hears the good news and is saved, and here's the down and outers, the drug addict, the demon possessed girl who's done everything wrong, ridden with guilt and shame, and the gospel comes and her life is totally transformed. It's new. She's forgiven of all her sins in her past. She is a new creature in Christ. Amen. She's excited about that, but her owners aren't. They've lost their means of taking care of their families, and so they stir up the city. The city gets stirred up, the people get stirred up against Paul. These guys are coming and preaching against Rome, and we got to throw them in jail. So Paul and Silas get thrown in jail. Middle of the night, they're praying and singing praises to God, and what happens? You guys know what happens, right? Earthquake, doors fling open. The correctional facilities officer on staff that night pulls out his Glock and sticks it to his, about ready to kill himself, about ready to fall on his sword, right? The Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas says, hey, you guys hang on. It's all good. Nobody has left. And what does the Philippian jailer say? I want what you got. Tell me what I must do to be saved. What you've been singing about, what you're in jail praising God, that's nuts. Well, I want what you have. I want that hope. He was about ready to end his life. He was hopeless, working class stiff, working the night shift at the jail, just trying to make ends meet for his family. He hears the gospel that night, and his life is forever transformed. These three are the first day until now that Paul is writing about. These were the first ones to get saved there in Philippi, and their lives were so transformed by the gospel. The meaning and purpose that Lydia got, the forgiveness of sins and new life that the demon-possessed girl got, and the hope that the Philippian jailer got, so changed their lives. They were willing to do and wanted to do and did whatever they could do to help get that same good news that they heard out to the rest of the world. They partnered together with Paul from that very first day in getting the gospel out to the rest of the world. Amen? They were concerned about the lost. They were concerned about those who were like them, not hearing the gospel, and wanted to make sure that they could hear the gospel. Paul said, thank you for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to remind you of three ways that the church at Philippi partnered together with Paul. So much, though, that Paul was able to say at the end of his letter, God's going to take care of y'all. Three ways. That was all introduction. We got time. We're going to be good. Three ways. The first way that they partnered together with Paul was through prayer. As you read chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul is writing and saying, hey, this is a prayer letter. This is the missionary writing to a church that has been supporting him and partnering together with him. And in verse 12, he says, brothers, I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul is in jail in Caesarea Philippi, and he's writing this letter saying, hey, the fact that I'm in jail, it's okay. The gospel is going out. There are folks who are preaching the gospel more boldly because I'm in jail, and there are people who are preaching it out of rivalry because I'm in jail, some from goodwill, some from rivalry. Paul says, I don't care what their motive is. I'm just glad that the gospel is going out while I'm sitting here in jail. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that rejoice. Paul says, the gospel is going out. What happens to me is really okay. I want you to know I'm in jail, but I'm not miserable. I'm not longing, searching, because the gospel is being preached. But end of verse 18, yes, I rejoice. I will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul writes and says, the gospel's going out, praise God, but I know I'm getting out of jail. I'm going to be delivered. How do I know? Because y'all are praying. And the Spirit of God is going to release me because y'all are praying. The word for know there, he says, for I know. The word for know in the Greek is the word for experiential knowledge. Not just intellectual understanding, but experience. Paul says, I know from experience that if you guys are praying, for me to get released from jail, that I will be delivered. I have a confidence because you guys are praying people, and when you guys pray, things change. Amen? The church partnered together with Paul, and Paul had interaction with him back and forth over the years. And whenever he had a prayer request, he would send it to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi would stop what they were doing. They would pray, and then things would change for Paul. Turn back just a few books to Romans, the last chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 15, not the last chapter. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Paul, again, is in jail. He's writing to the church in Rome. And while he is so far away, hundreds of miles away in Caesarea Philippi, he writes to the church at Rome, and he says, I appeal to you, brothers. Romans 15:30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Struggle together with me. The word strive has to do with struggling or wrestling. Wrestle together with me from hundreds of miles away through your prayers on my behalf. Paul says that the work of the gospel, the work of taking the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world in this community, across the state, across the country, and around the world, is a spiritual work. And we can be a part of it, and we need to be a part of it, and we are a part of it when we stop and pray. When we pray for our neighbors, it's a spiritual work that we're doing that they might be saved. Amen? When we pray for our church planters here in Arkansas, we are joining them in the struggle that they're having to win the lost in their communities. When we pray for our North American Mission Board missionaries, we are joining them in that spiritual battle that they are facing against the enemy as they are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. When we pray for our international missionaries overseas, we are going into the heavenly realms and struggling together with them against the forces in which they are sharing the gospel. The church at Philippi, the church at Philippi was promised that God will take care of them because they were a praying church and they were affecting change around the world in Paul's ministry, in the ministry of missions, through their prayers. Church of Philippi was a praying church. Amen? But not only were they a praying church, they were a going church. Look at chapter 2, verses 25 and following. Paul, again, writing to a church that's been partnering together with him. How did they partner? They partnered through prayer. They also partnered by sending volunteer teams. Here in Philippians chapter 2, we read about maybe one of the first volunteer missions teams in Scripture that there ever was. He writes in verse 25, kind of skip over this sometimes, Philippians 2:25, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he's been longing for you all. He has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. The church in Philippi was sending Epaphroditus and probably others, because they didn't just go in ones, it went as teams, to assist Paul, to walk together with Paul, to share the good news as Paul is the missionary out starting new churches in new places. Paul calls him my fellow soldier, my brother, my fellow worker, and your messenger and your servant, your minister in my time of need. God has given us each gifts and callings. And we'll talk about it on another Sunday, but each one of us are uniquely gifted and called to serve him through those gifts and through those callings. We are to use those for His glory in the local body, but we're also to use those in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen. We're to use those for me. When we were serving overseas, I was back at First Baptist Church in Mountain Home on stateside assignment, and I was sharing with a group of WMU ladies. And I talked to them about an upcoming volunteer trip that we had, asking them to pray for this English club that we were holding in the region of Udmurtia, Russia. And at the end of the time together, we prayed, and just sweet bunch of ladies who were prayer warriors. A sweet little old lady named Edith came up to me, and Edith was about this tall, gray-haired, and actually blue-haired, and she came up to me and just frail and just. And she'd come up to me and she looked at me, "Brother Tim, I think God wants me to go on that there mission trip." And in my mind, not out of my mouth, but in my mind, I thought, you'd break. I mean, just this fragile little, sweet little old 83-year-old woman. There's no way in the world you can make the planes, trains, and automobiles it takes to get to this place, never mind survive. It'd wear me out at my age. And so that was in my mind. And she said, "I think God wants me to go on that there mission trip, but I just don't know how I can afford it." And I thought to myself, "Ooh, praise God." Dodge that one. A week later, she gives me a call and she said, "Brother Tim, praise God. My Sunday school class is going to pay for me to go on that trip." Praise God. Yeah. Long and short, Miss Edith made that trip, taught the oldest class of people, ended up 3 or 4 students the first night, 6th grade the next night. By the end of the week, she had like 20-something students, the only class that grew. And these were the highest-level English speakers. She didn't teach a thing. She just sat there and told stories. But there they are sitting in this classroom, sitting around Miss Edith, just listening to her stories. She talked about her family and her church and her friends and her faith. And in the end, a couple of the young ladies that came to class and trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior as part of that. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. Excuse me. About 6 weeks later, I am back in that region of Russia. And I'd been working there for a couple of years on and off in this particular area. And me and another guy, we were in a fast food restaurant, Russian fast food restaurant. And a couple of young ladies came running up to us and said, "We know you. We know you." And I thought, you know, praise God, finally making an impact in the area. You know, we've been coming here, had 6 or 7 events here. God's at work. That's so cool. We know you. You guys were with Miss Edith. I'm thinking to myself, Miss Edith was with me. Let me. I'm the missionary, right? No. God laid on her heart to go on that mission. She was the missionary. Her life, her testimony impacted those students like I never could. The church in Philippi, they understood that in order to get the gospel out to the end of the world, it meant more than just praying. It meant sending some of our own and gathering resources so that we can send our own to take the good news of the gospel. If God's ever called you to go on a y'all, anybody here been on a volunteer missions trip? We're gonna help make that happen even more. That's awesome. Good on you. When God calls you, He's called you, and He's got a reason for that and a purpose for that. Amen. Church of Philippi, their lives were so changed by the gospel that they prayed like crazy and they sent their own and went whenever God called. And finally, and at the end of the book in chapter 4, just before verse 19. We understand that the church at Philippi, their lives were so changed. They were willing to do whatever it took to get the gospel to the end of the world. They gave. They gave, and they gave sacrificially, financially, to get the gospel to the end of the world. In verse 14, verse 10, he says, "I rejoice greatly that now at length you have renewed your concern for me. You were concerned, but had no opportunity." Not that I'm in need. I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content, right? That's the context there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Yet, verse 14, it was kind of you to share my trouble. As you Philippians yourselves know, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, when I left you guys, no church entered into the partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Philippi was the first church to financially support the tent maker, Paul, so that he would not have to spend as much time making tents and he could spend more time sharing the gospel. Amen? Their lives were so changed, they said, whatever it takes. We're going to pray like crazy. We're going to go. We're going to send our own. And we're going to give. And we're going to give over and over again. We're going to give sacrificially. He said that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into the partnership of giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, after Philippi, he went down to Berea and Thessalonica. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again, over and over again. They took a love offering when he left. They said, that wasn't enough. Paul, you need help. They said, over and over again, they gave gifts. Not that I seek the gift. Paul said, again, not about me. Look at this. But I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Y'all get that? I'm not a banker. Not financially minded, but I get that. Paul says, because you give, God's going to give back. Because you have a giving heart and a willing, and we could look, we don't have time, but we could look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10. We see the principle that God is going to increase to your account because you're willing to give. You're able to give. God has blessed some of us financially for the sole purpose of generosity. Giving to his kingdom, giving so that others may hear the gospel. That's what Paul's talking about here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul writes of the church of Macedonia who gave and gave and gave sacrificially, gave more than they should have given. They even begged Paul for the opportunity to give more. Paul said, look, I'm good. Verse 18, I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. I've got it. We're good. I'm thankful for it because I know God's going to continue to increase to you so that you can continue to give to missions. Give for the sake of the kingdom. We as Southern Baptists, we've got an incredible tool, an incredible channel in which we give through and to missions through the cooperative program, right? Our church, y'all's church, here gives a portion of the tithes and offerings so that they go to partner together with 40,000 other Southern Baptist churches to support missions around the world. Thank you for doing that. That affects missions here in the state, missions across the country, and missions around the world. We give, and we give over and over again, and we give systematically. And I hope and I pray that you individually and as a church give sacrificially. I love what Paul calls that gift. When we give so that others can hear the gospel, look what he calls that. Those gifts that you sent, they are verse 18, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. When you give individually, when you give as a church with the heart to get the good news of Jesus to a lost and dying world, Paul says that is an act of worship. Amen? That's an act that says, it ain't about me. It ain't about my wants. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus, right? This stuff is here is temporary. The gospel is eternal. The lostness of mankind without Christ is eternal. We've got to do all we can do. When we give with that kind of mentality that the gospel would go out, Paul says that is an act of worship. That's saying to God, your will be done, not mine. It's not about me, it's about you. It's about the lost. It's about the dying world. You do that, Paul says, my God will take care of y'all. He will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The church at Philippi, from the first day until at this point, their lives were so transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. by the love of God that sent Jesus to die for their sins so that they would not have to die for those sins. And by faith, they received that. Their lives were transformed. They had new lives. They had meaning and purpose. They had forgiveness of sins. They had hope for a future. Their lives were so changed by that and radically altered that they were willing to do all they could do to get that good news to somebody else, on to the next one. And they did. They did by praying. They did by going and serving and sharing themselves, and they did through their gifts. I wonder this morning, can we claim that promise that God will supply all our needs according to His riches in glory? Has your life been so radically changed by the love of God that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get the gospel to the ends of the earth? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, God can change your life. Whether you're wealthy and have it all, whether you're in bondage to some sort of addiction, or whether you're just not sure what the future is going to hold, God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for the sins that have separated you. And through trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, you too can be saved. I'm going to ask you, a musician, to come forward, Matt. And I'm going to ask you if you'd take a minute to bow your head and close your eyes. This message, this thought is for the church. Are we doing all we can to get the good news of Jesus Christ to the end of the earth? That's why we're here. That's the kind of church that God wants to bless. But you may be here today and you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. During the time of invitation, I would love to share with you how you could be saved. Lord, we thank You for the example of the church at Philippi. We thank You, Lord, for Your working in and through Paul. You're working in and through that church to get the gospel, to continue to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You would help us to be that kind of church that is more concerned about the world than about our own time, our own efforts, and our own resources. Lord, help us to be that kind of church here at Osage Baptist. And Lord, You transform lives through Your love. If there's anyone here this morning who's never been saved, I would love the opportunity today to share with them how they could be saved. Lord, if that's the case, we ask that You draw them to Yourself. We ask it in all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Do we stand together?
Yes, sir.
Let's stand together and sing during this time of invitation. I'll be down at the front. If you're here this morning and I can pray for you in any way, I'd love to do that. I don't know y'all. I don't know who's been saved, who hadn't been saved. That's part of the fun of being the interim. We're all on equal ground. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, come, let me share with you through Scripture how you can turn from your sin and trust in Christ's death for you on the cross. Maybe you're here today and you say, hey, this is the church for me. God has been working and leading me this direction. I'd like to come and be a part of Osage Baptist Church and the Osage Baptist Church Fellowship. Whatever and however the Lord leads, I'll be down here at the front.
Yep. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Is calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, He will not turn thee away.
Well, Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a seat for just a moment, if you would. I was given a heads up that this was going to happen this morning, and so I'm going to lead us just for a minute. If I mess up, y'all forgive me, okay? Because every church does things just a little bit differently. But we have William Gossage here. William is a believer, has been baptized, is a member of Eagle Heights Baptist Church, and would like to come and be a part of Osage Baptist Church and joined by promise of letter from the church. All in favor of that, just say amen. And there are none opposed, because that would not be good. So we won't even go there. But how do we close the service normally? I pray and dismiss, or somebody else pray and dismiss? I'll tell you what, this morning I'm going to pray and dismiss this, and when I do, you all come by and welcome William to the fellowship here. Would that be all right? And any other announcements, anything else?
Yes.
Tim, lunch, yes?
When you pray, could you ask the blessing on the food also?
I can do that.
All right.
Very good. Very good. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for how you have changed lives throughout history, Lord, through the gospel. And Lord, we are living testimonies of your goodness and grace, and recipients of those missionaries and those church planters and those pastors throughout the years who have brought us to this point. Thank you for William. Thank you, Lord, for how you have worked in his life and his calling, his desire to come be a part of this fellowship. Lord, I thank you for Osage Baptist Church and its past and Lord, for its future. And we just ask that you would continue to bless this church, that it might be a lighthouse in this community, a sending church, a giving church, a praying church, Lord, that you keep close and you bless for years and years to come. Lord, thank you for the food, the provision of it, those who have worked so hard to prepare it. Ask you to bless it. Bless our afternoon, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And on your way out, if you'll come greet William. William, pleasure to meet you.
You too.
Excited.